Hey Joe, where you going with that pencil in your hand? Comics for Beginners Podcast, episode 27. Questions from Joe. No, this is not the Jimi Hendrix podcast. This is the Comics for Beginners podcast, the podcast for aspiring comic book creators and people who are interested in the craft and the process of making comics. I'm Palle Schmidt, writer of comics and YA novels and screenplays and crime noir and a bunch of other stuff. Also an artist. I'm the artist on Thomas Alsop, which is out from Boom Studios. With writer Chris Miscavige. This podcast episode is a sort of an FAQ episode. I'm answering questions from a subscriber named Joe, hence the singing in the intro. Sorry about that. Hope I didn't damage you psychologically in any permanent way. So I got this email from Joe, and Joe has a lot of questions, so instead of just answering him in an email, which of course I have, I also wanted to make a podcast out of some of these answers, and hopefully there is some value in it for the rest of you. So let me just dig right in and read Joe's email and answer the questions as they come up. First, he writes, "Hi, Palle. Thanks for all the videos and information. Incredibly helpful. Really focused me on how to put everything together and keep it simple. So thank you." Well, obviously, I'm the one saying thank you here. "I'm working on my first comic, inking and painting by hand, and I was hoping you could fill in a few gaps on how to put it together. I have the story quite clear, and I think ready now. I have split it into three acts like in the videos and given each act roughly 30 panels, give or take, to give some borders to work within. This has worked out pretty good, and I had thumbnailed act one and act two, and I'm happy with how it flows." Well, first off, Joe, congratulations for getting that far. And yeah, of course, the videos he's referring to is the tutorial video series at comicsforbeginners.com, 10 videos that walk you through all the steps of how to make comics. Joe continues, "This is where I start to get a bit unsure with my method." Well, we all get unsure about halfway into whatever it is we're doing. We all get unsure, so no need to feel bad. "The idea was to have the first four pages completely finished to see how it would look and where I could improve. Cut bits to save time and streamline my efforts to get consistent and good results. This, I hope, will also put my mind at ease and give some motivation to see a glimpse of what the final piece would look like." This is a method I highly recommend. This is me now answering the letter. To do a test page to see what the final product will look like, and hopefully get that confidence that you need to keep moving forward, so you feel like at least you know what the end result is going to look like. It's also a good idea to test the waters and try out the tools that you're going to use, so that you kind of know what it is you're getting into. So smart. So now Joe goes on to describe his method. "My method. First, I drew each panel with pencil and then ink for the first four pages, then scanned them in to arrange them on the page as they will be in the comic. I have no program to do this and was hoping you might know what would work best, manga studios, comic life, etc. I then went to print out that sheet on watercolor paper, paint onto that sheet, and then scan it in again to do all the finishing touches, maybe vector the ink lines and place on top of the color. I like the idea of using ink on watercolor, as in an example, a Ralph Steadman kind of style. And here comes the questions. Does this method sound over complex, or like it might, I might hit a dead end somewhere? Well, I don't know about dead ends, Joe, but I do know that, that there will be bumps in the road, and you will figure this out as you're working on it. There are some pitfalls to your method, and yes, it is very complex. It does sound quite a lot like my method, actually. But some of the pitfalls is the resolution. You might end up having issues with that. Heavy computer files could also be a problem. I don't know what kind of equipment you have, but if you're scanning in watercolor art and then working on top of that and having a gazillion layers with every image that you're kind of adjusting there, it might turn into a time-consuming process as well. Scanning and arranging is going to take a lot longer than you probably think right now. The line thickness is one thing that might vary if you do each panel separately and then scale it to fit into the panel. So I would say do it all on one page. Maybe arrange your sketches digitally if you must, but try to ink it all in the same size, whether that's 200% or 150% or whatever. As I say, the process you describe is somewhat similar to what I do. I also print and paint, but you also seem to have figured out there is the issue of the line art. On Thomas Alsop, I inked. I'm making quotation marks in the air here. I inked in pencil on stock paper at 150%, and then before adding paint. Ecoline watercolor or an ink wash, I scanned in all the pages so I had a backup of the line art, and then I splashed paint all over my originals. I mean, painted those up and then scanned those in. On the computer, I could then put my ink layer on top of my painted or ink washed layer. If that makes sense, it also helps with selection, so I can clean up and white out balloons and between borders nice and easy if I use the select tool in my backup line art layer. But there is a major hassle, and that's getting the inked layer or the line art layer to fit on top of the wash, so there's no mismatch. I did a free transform where you select something and then you can do a free transform and try to make it fit to each corner of the page or in some cases even down to the panel, and it's time consuming, but it's still the best method that I've been able to figure out. Now, if anyone listening has a better idea on how to make your inks fit over a painted page, I would really love to hear from you, so please write in. Another cautionary word to your method here is printing on stock paper is not always safe, as in the printer fluid the ink that goes on your page can fall off if it's not properly burned onto the paper. I think that depends on the printer. And then it might not be, or it might not be water resistant. So if you use an inkjet printer, I'm pretty sure that if you start splashing watercolors on it, it will just erode and be destroyed. So definitely use a laser printer. And again, do a test. Print out some line art. It doesn't even have to be yours. It doesn't matter. Just print something out on the paper that you're going to use and then test it out with a lot of water on it and see if the ink falls off. If it does, there are tricks to solve that problem. But one of them is to bake the print in the oven, actually, at 200 degrees or something, for like, I don't know, a minute, 30 seconds maybe, just enough to kind of make the ink stick to the page. That's one method. So Joe continues with his questions here. What program or software do you suggest for paneling or arranging the images with borders on a computer? Well, I use InDesign to arrange word balloons and borders and lettering and this, and I do that to avoid ruling out on paper, because that I've never been really good at that. Don't want to spend time measuring out borders, and I don't want to make balloons that don't fit the dialogue that's going to go in there. So I make the lettering first. You could do this in Photoshop too, obviously, but as far as I know, then you can only work at one page at a time. And supposedly the font is a lot sharper or a lot clearer if you do it in a design program like InDesign. I think Manga Studio has a better way of getting around this, but I'm not familiar with that program, so I can't really give you any advice there. Then he asks, how much bigger should I do my drawing than the actual panel size? Is it important that all my drawings be consistent with that rule? Yes. As I mentioned earlier, all your drawings should be consistently inked. So if you do your inks in 150%, then all your drawings should be 150%, whether you are doing them individually or page by page. I would say the same goes if you're inking digitally. Try not to scale your drawings too much, because it will show. I mean, the eye is very quick to pick up on differences in the thickness of the line. So you will have some panels that look extremely thin, where the inks look extremely thin, and others where it just seems like you painted it with a big with a Sharpie. Then Joe asks, should I draw out panels into the page and start working on that, or draw separate images and put them together on the computer? And I think I already answered this, but again, I would advise against it. I can see where it's tempting to scale your drawings, because it seems easier. It could turn into a huge time suck and look really weird on the page. Inks should look consistent on every page and every panel, and you can scale them a little bit without anyone noticing, but more than I would say 10 to 20%, and it gets really obvious. There's also the fact that that scaling inked drawings will tend to pixelate them, unless of course you do the whole vector thing, which I'm not a huge expert on either, so I don't know how that would work. This next question. Also, any tools that might be useful? An example, good inking pens. What type and size of paper do you work in? And, well, I actually have a list of some of the tools that I use on comicsforbeginners.com. It's called Free Tools for Comics Artists. It's a list of resources. There's a button there. You can find it. I'll also put a link in the show notes. But I have a list of the tools that I use. There's even a video where I describe some of them and how I use them. I've grown very fond of a specific kind of pen, but I can show you all that at comicsforbeginners.com. Another tip I always give is, you know, find the tools that work for you. Don't try to copy because Jim Lee uses that kind of quill, I should do the same, or I'm not a real comics artist. You should figure out the tools that your hand likes and that you like, where you like the result, and then go with that. Joe continues, I live in the UK, but most of the comics sold in the mainstream comic book stores are American. Is that reason enough to stick to the US page template, or does that not matter so much? Well, it matters if you want to be published in the US. If not, there is the European album format. or the different kind of web formats. Some are even wide formats. And other publishing venues seem to be more open to other kinds of formats. But the U.S. is very standardized, as far as I know. So, you know, if you don't feel like it's hurting whatever it is you're working on, stay with the U.S. Page format, I guess. Because, yeah, otherwise you'll have to adjust later if the day ever arose that you wanted to sell it at a convention in the U.S. or whatever. I also have, yeah, at comicsforbeginners.com in the resource section, I also have templates that you can download and print out of the US page standard and the European standard. So feel free to use those. Also, Joe continues, would it be possible for you to send me a photo of your finished work as it is on your desk just before you scan it in, so I have an idea of what size and quality I should aim towards with my own work? In parentheses, he says, cheeky, I know, but I won't be offended if you can't send that. Well, I will totally put up a picture of my desk, no problem. I'm not sure it will help you very much, but I work on A3, that's the standard page size here, where I live. And I print out my layout document at about 150%, and that gives it an extra level of detail. I would say, as a rule of thumb, when you're sketching, rough sketching, work in a small format, because that makes it easier to keep the entire page in your mind, and it doesn't seem so overwhelming. But then when you start inking, I would go oversized, because you can put in a little bit more detail that way. I wouldn't go super large unless you draw super detailed. And that's not something I would recommend for a beginner. So the final words from Joe is, sorry for all these questions. If you can help out with any of them, it would be greatly appreciated. Again, thanks for all the help so far with the videos and podcast. This has kept me very inspired and optimistic with art and drawing again. Joe, thank you. I mean, I get motivation from emails like this, so I really appreciate you writing in, and I hope I answered all your questions. I will put up that photo of my desk. Don't know how helpful it would be, as I said. It took me forever to reply to this, so I'm sorry about that. So you might have already figured out another method in the meantime. But as I said earlier, there might be some value in it for others out there. So I hope you found it helpful. Please do write in with questions, and remember, I also answer all questions to my best ability at the site. comicsforbeginners.com/VIP. That's the membership section, that if you don't know that. There's a part of the site where you have to pay to get access. It's currently $29. The reason for that is I don't want flashy ads all over the site, but I need a way to monetize it. So that way is a good method. I think that's the best method I've come up with anyway. So yeah, if you haven't signed up yet, please consider to do that. And in the backstage area, if you can call it that, I answer all questions from members. So yeah, you can always reach me there. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Take care. Listening to the Comics for Beginners podcast. For tutorial videos and more hands-on tips on how to write and draw comics, go to comicsforbeginners.com.